It's Sunday morning, October 4th.
You're totally sure it's not the third?
Third.
Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been corrected. It won't be the last time.
Well, every day is a good day in you, Lord.
Amen.
So, Lord, we ask for your blessing. Ask for your blessing on the day. And Lord, that you would bless us this morning with your truth, your word, your truth as revealed in your word. Reveal that word to us, Lord. Reveal that word. And Lord, that we would take to heart and do what we can the word that came forth in prophecy last week, Lord, that we would be open to loving you. Open to loving you, Lord, all open, that we might open all the doors, O Lord, to your love and extending our love to you. Show us the way to do that, Lord, by your Spirit. By your Spirit, Lord, that we would not drop the ball on that thing. That we would love you, that we would love you by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe even a better way to say that, Charlie, is that we would learn to love him by his standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through a lot of things in the last 60 years, and seen a lot of things, you know. We've seen a lot of miracles take place, and I was realizing that I've also been through a number of stages, and one of them back in 1982 was deliberate, and then about 20 years ago. The only time this ever happened to me in my life, I heard a voice. And the voice said, "If you're serious." And I thought, I have been serious lots of times, but I really wasn't. And of course, God knows that. And which led us to the listening of the Word. And I've listened to the Word of God for very steady for the last over 20 years. And but what it does, you know, in Matthew 4:4, while Jesus is being tested by the devil, he made a statement, and he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by," and I want to emphasize this, it says in the King James, especially, it says, "He shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And I have begun to realize how important the every word is. And what we do is we miss a lot of the word because we're human. We can only remember so much. We can only comprehend so much. And there are a couple of verses, all of the verses that say anything like this that I know of are in Matthew. In Matthew 7:14, it says, "Few there be that find it." And then in Matthew, it's chapter 20, I think, in 16, I'm not sure, it says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." And Jesus makes a statement in, I think it's in John 16, where he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And I have, I don't know if I've ever done it, but I have heard a lot of times where people say, when they're witnessing to somebody, they say, you need to choose Jesus. And it's a good idea. But in the end of this whole thing, it is God that chooses us. Mm-hmm. And chooses us based on our response to what he asks us to do. And we can get so busy with other things that we don't really do what he wants. And in the 28th chapter of Isaiah is a scripture that jumped out at me this morning. And God says, I will, I'm trying to think how it's worded here, I'd have to look it up, but he's going to teach us. Isaiah 28.
Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here, there, a little, there, a little.
And then in verse 11, he says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And I'm not familiar with which, you know, with all of the verses, but in some of the verses in the book of Acts, after people have gotten saved, they said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And I thought, we have never really made an issue out of it. And some of the churches have more than others, but in each one, they asked him, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And I thought, "What? Why? What's the issue here?" And as a matter of fact, in some of the fundamental type churches, they have no emphasis on speaking in tongues. It's because they don't understand what it is. But God has given speaking in tongues as a means of teaching us. And because to converse with God is not it's not something that man is able to freely do. God's in a different dimension. And so it says in the book, in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, it says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. It's in a different dimension. And so anyway, this morning, I began to get a totally different, deeper appreciation for what God has done.
Lord. You know, in the same way that we don't understand what we're saying when we speak in tongues, I bet there is a lot that we don't know the purpose of speaking in tongues. We kind of do it in faith. We, you know, in part, little, we speak unto God, whatever. But who knows what's going on? Who knows what glorious thing is happening that our mind just doesn't get? You know, who knows?
Well, because we don't understand, we don't get the value of it either.
Sure.
But it says in the second chapter of Acts something that's important. I mean, it's all important, but after they were baptized in Jesus' name, Peter says in verse 39, "For this promise," and this is the promise of the Holy Spirit, "is unto you and to your children and to all of them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, some of the, I mean, I was, my first association with church was in a church that was, that had no concept of what tongues was. And my brother was a pastor. And he's younger than me, but he was, I had written him letters out from Seattle and told him about what was going on. And him and his pastor, that a friend of his, they had studied my letters and they couldn't find anything wrong with it. And one night at my uncle's house, my brother Clayton was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was on a Saturday night. And the next morning, he was so excited, he had to tell his church about it. And they immediately removed him from the church. And, but anyway, and I got a letter from him here not too long ago. I mean, he just lived locally, but maybe it was for my birthday, I'm not sure. And so thankful that I had had told him about, you know, receiving the Holy Spirit and all the things that have happened. And, you know, he's only a couple years younger than me, so he's over 80. But what a blessing this has been to him, you know.
It occurs to me that Josh, Jill, and Sophie, and Carter, they hear us talking about it some. We should pray for them here, be receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. So. We should not just drop the ball on that thing.
No. No, I...
it's good. You know, it's just good.
It's a promise.
Yes.
It's a gift. And they made sure to pursue it in the book of Acts. And we have made sure to pursue it in this church. We've had a lot of people receive the Holy Spirit here. It's not a fearful thing, it's a gift.
Mm-hmm. That's how I, after many years, started looking at it. And that was my reply to some people was, well, if you believe in God, is he awesome? Do you want to refuse him? See, a gift is, there's no... No stipulation with it, no ties, nothing. It's just a gift. It's given freely, no strings attached. So, you know, and you might not be in the place right away to say, yeah, I want that gift, you know, from God, because it's from God. But if you keep hearing it enough and it starts sinking in, it'll maybe do some battle with the enemy and also, you know.
I do think that he can give us a desire for it.
Yeah. You know, I read something, and I hope this is not going off the subject too much, but in 1 Peter this morning, and it's right in the beginning of the book. I'm going to start in right before 3. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And I never, this is what all of a sudden got pointed out, who are kept by the power of God through faith. All of a sudden, it's like faith had a different meaning. Faith, you have faith by the power of God. Whatever faith you have. And then, but it says, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, and it goes on. So it's like, it just made me stop, and I had to just keep pondering that phrase. Kept by the power of God through faith. You know, we say, well, where does faith come from? How do I get faith? Well, whatever faith you get, it's by the power of God. Which says, which says it's nothing I did and can do, you know. And then in verse 9 it says, well, in 8, whom having not seen, it's talking about Jesus Christ. You love, you know, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So that's the end result. Mm-hmm. Now we have all this great gifts in between and everything. The other thing, I went over it, and it's actually still in that same chapter. And, let's see. Okay. I'm going to start. It says this of Christ. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, said that so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Is that what's been being brought to us? In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now, here's the part that jumped out. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know, when we read in John 3, it just says you must be born again. And we accept that. And you know what? A lot of people camp right there. But I, all of a sudden, this morning, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, that's not an end result. That's a walk. Being born again is ongoing. Because it says you get it through the Word of God. So the more you have the Word of God, the more you're born again. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Does it make sense? I don't know. That's the way it came out to me all of a sudden. I thought, that's interesting, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So, like we've said, you'll probably be learning things forever, you know. Anyway, just some things to ponder on. Born again by the Word of God. So that means it's not a one-time thing.
Process.
It's a process.
Back in 1982, I was convinced that the devil couldn't touch us. And yet we were being attacked. People were being attacked. And on March 14th, 1982, it was a Sunday morning, and I don't even know why, but I declared war on the devil. And we had prayer meetings every day here, and sometimes there'd be 100 people praying. And that night, somebody told me, they said, we think you should come back and talk to Vicki, because she's kind of lost her bearings, and Simon Lee was praying with her, and I said, he's been saved a long time, he can do what I can do. And I said, oh, I think you better come back. And I went back, and the next thing I knew, I was being called about every filthy thing that I could have been called. And I did do a lot of good, you know, a lot of good for me. And anyway, it got us started into deliverance. And some of the churches around began to call us the demon church. And I said all of that to say this. Last Sunday, we left here, went out to the pizza ranch, and Kurt had been telling us about a friend of his that had just been getting some deliverance. I'm not even sure if it's true. I don't know if it was at this church or just somehow through the church, through harvest time. And so we got out to Pizza Ranch, and he says, oh, there he is right now. And he was over at the counter, and so he went over, and the guy came over and introduced himself to us, and a young fellow. And so we went in, and we were eating in a kind of a secluded area there, and there's a black girl, a real sweetheart. And she was kind of helping us get established, and these guys knew her, just not close, but they knew her. And this guy come up to her and put his arm around her. He says, have you given your life to the Lord? Or I don't know what he said. I remember hearing him say something like that. And then the next time, I think I knew, I was in the middle of a Pentecostal prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really joining into it, but I was. It was going on around me. And I don't even know what happened, but you know what? This is the way it should be. This is the way it should be. My wife would have been right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And I don't even know what the man's name is.
I was thinking some about the prophecy last Sunday, you know.
Yeah.
And it is what we were being exhorted to do, pleaded to do, was to obey the first commandment, of course. You know, that was what it was. It was the first commandment that was being talked about. And, you know, Jesus said, the second is like unto the first, namely that you love your neighbor as yourself. And they, you know, they go together. And yet, the second is second. It's not the engine of that train, it's the caboose, you know. But it's all part of the same train. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and body and all those things you're supposed to, soul, whatever, you know. And then, also, secondarily, love your neighbor as yourself. It has a role, but it's a secondary role.
You know, I've been saying at different times in the past, you know, that I want to have a greater love, period, but especially for God. And that was a great that was the emphasis Sunday, last Sunday. And it was said in such a intimate way, coming from God, you know. I want to love you, and I want you to love me back. I mean, and he repeated that quite a few times. But it's funny, but now, since then, I've been reading in the scriptures, and it's exactly how Charlie's putting it. But when that love of God comes, we are supposed to be loving one another fervently. That's the sign. And it gets repeated by, it gets said by Paul, it gets said by Peter, it gets said by John. You know, this is how you know that you are of God, that you love your brother. Your brother, which is loving your neighbor, kind of, you know, but you got it, but it's true. It's, you've got to have the one is the number one, you know, the first commandment. That's got to be there first, because otherwise the other, it'll get messed up, it'll get, you know, yeah. And I started thinking, yeah, see, we got to start becoming a body that quits looking at everybody's little, I don't like that button. You know, I mean, and just saying, they're my brethren. They're the family of God. I need to love them, you know? And even not just people sitting here, I'm not considering just my family of God. You know, I mean, this is our fellowship. But I'm thinking of, and you know, I'm thinking of ones in prayer meetings and other places that I want to love them. You know? I want to love the guy that maybe he smells when I'm around him or whatever. So what? You know, you got to get past all that stuff. Maybe he's the guy that, oh, he says such silly things and embarrasses us. Well, too bad. You know, yeah. Love him. Yeah. And stuff like that. I mean, I think that's what God wants to develop. I think that's really what he's starting to spearhead here. Because it's for the last time, you know?
You know, in Psalm 23, it says, our cup overflows. And oh, that our cup of love would overflow and spill onto all those around us. You know? Overflow. Overflow, cup. Get everybody else all sloshed up with your love. Whatever.
And we had a taste of it, because I can remember, we had a taste of it. God gave us, and we've said this a lot, but God gave us a taste of it quite a while back. It later got tainted, and the enemy, you know, the angel of light came in and kind of diffused it in the wrong way. But before that, there was like, I remember people were going to Heckles over here, and all of a sudden, people will go, what is with you guys? You know, and they were just attracted because the love of God was coming out of them. I think Twilight was one that had an experience there, and somebody else, but I had certain one with certain individuals too, where they were just drawn to you because it was God. It was God. I mean, I don't know how you know God does a lot of things. He's peace. He's love. He's compassion. He's, you know, all these things. Whatever was coming through, they seen it. They knew it was there, and they were attracted to it. And I don't want to say I don't want to ever say to God, oh yeah, let's have it like we had before, you know. No, I want your new thing, Lord, whatever that is. But it's going to have an aspect of that, because you can't hardly help but have that, you know. It's definitely going to have an effect on people. The love of God is like, well, it's the love of God is the strongest thing in the universe, you know. Because why? Because God is love. He's spirit, and he's love. And he's a lot of other things, but that's it. That's the main thing that gets always attributed to him as a characteristic, you know. So I think we should, like, say, God, more power of faith, mm-hmm. to anticipate this coming. Desire it. Start desiring it to come. Start desiring it to change you, not somebody else. You know? I want me changed. You, and whatever happens with you is going to be great, but I know if I don't change, I'm not going to appreciate all the things of God. So,
Speaking for myself, back in the time you were referring to when we had, such love, I'm not at all sure that the love your neighbor wasn't the engine for me anyway, you know. And it must not be that way. The engine has to be love your God. That's got to be it. And an important part, but still secondary, is love your neighbor. You know? First things first. First, love God, and then, you know.
I think some of what happened probably with me is, yeah, I want that love back. Well, you know what? That's where it starts getting wrong.
We talked about unconditional love, but it was conditional love.
Yeah. So in these people, it wasn't like the message wasn't, oh, look it, I got God in me. You need to love me as much as, yeah, or whatever. It wasn't focused on them. It was just going out, you know. And if you really do have the love of God, you will not let it come back on you as the focal point. You want it always on him and his son and his word and truth, you know.
Amen.
That's where we got to get to, I think. There's some aspect to that, I'm not saying, you know.
Years ago, when we were having trouble with our daughter, with drugs and stuff, I actually felt hatred towards her for what she was putting us through. And I remember at a women's prayer meeting in Eau Claire, the ladies anyway, we were praying. And I went home that night and continued praying. And I realized through God that because he loved me, I could love her with that love, even though I didn't have the love in me. And so that brought me through to the point where I could love her again.
Mm.
And I think that was a huge revelation for me at that time.
Sure, yeah.
Because I knew I couldn't do it. I couldn't. There were too many hurts.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Wow.
And through that, then he healed the hurts, and I was able to love her then again, you know. But his love heals. It does what's needed at that point in time. But last Sunday, the revelation I got was, I always knew he loved me, but I didn't realize he wanted my love. Like a parent, you want your children to love you. And that was another revelation for me, that he really desired my love. And I always concentrated on him loving me, him loving me. You know?
Yeah, you know, the question gets asked a lot. Well, why did God create us? Right, yeah. There's why.
Because
that's
it. Love.
I mean, he wouldn't have created us just to go around being whoever we want and doing whatever, you know? What?
He wanted somebody
He wanted a fellowship with the ones he created.
Yes.
And he wanted love in return as he gave it to them. Now, he'll love us unconditionally no matter what,
right.
You know? But that's,
it was a huge revelation.
It is. It's a major aspect of it. And, you know, and I think I brought it up in our meeting Tuesday. I said, I'm sure this is not going to be necessarily the easiest message for a lot of people to receive, especially if they are involved with us, with the whole, community chapel aspect, you know, that whole system because of what happened. But that's, you got to fight and ask God to get you through that because you don't want that stopping you from the real thing, you know.
No, that's right. I bet.
You just don't. And I feared love partly because I always thought, well, if somebody loves me, I have to love them or I got to, you know, give something back or what. I don't know. I would put conditions in there all the time, you know. And you can't do that. You just got to love. So you got to love without the fear of being hurt.
And accept the hurt and let God heal it.
Yeah, and if you do get hurt, yeah, go through it because it'll make you, it'll cleanse you, it'll make you better, it'll set you free, you know?
It's got to be supernatural. It's got to be spiritual.
Yeah, you can't work it up. There ain't nothing
to natural. It's not where it's at.
No, you got to be asking Him. I'm sure there'll be, you know, there's fear involved with a lot of people. We gotta just be able to combat that again, you know, come against the enemy in that. Even without that, just one last thing. There's people in the world that fear love. Period.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yep.
They do.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Because there's always conditions. Man always puts conditions on it.
Yeah. You know, love is vulnerable, and we would prefer to be as the porcupine, showing our quills and not the soft underbelly.
Needs to show love to everybody no matter what, or I don't feel like myself. I have to be loving and caring towards everybody, even if they're not nice to me or whatever. I just can't help it. And the more I do that, the more I feel comfortable and happy and just comfortable as myself.
Blessing. Yeah, that's a blessing from
yes.
God. I know a friend who often reminds me, well, that's how God wants you, and that's how you need to be. That's fine. She's like, you can get her a lot, but you know what? It keeps pulling you through.
Mm-hmm. And the more you pour out, the more you get.
Yeah. I have thought of, you know, the way the Lord works is, you know, we swim. Go swimming. You put fins on your feet, and oh, you can really go fast. It's just remarkable how you can really scoop through the water when you got fins on, you know? And in that, you know, same way, whatever we come with in the way of natural advantages or whatever, oh, they are just so amplified by the Lord. So that is a blessing that you have there, Jill, to have your disposition be toward love, and even if there is a risk of rejection and hurt and whatever, you know. But oh, what the Lord can do with that positive feature of you. Woo-hoo, he can, oh, you really fly through the water with those fins, you know. And, you know, it's more than fins, it's a jetpack.
Another aspect of the love feature is in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, sanctify them. And according to my concordance, to be sanctified is to be separated unto himself. Through your truth, you know, Father, sanctify them through your truth, your word is truth. And truth matters. Jesus said, I came, or I was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. And in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter at verse 10, it says, because they received not the love for the truth that they might be saved. That's what it says. And so salvation hinges on us receiving God's love and God's love for truth. And so if he's the one that's going to do the choosing, it has to be on some of these things, you know. Because they received not a love for the truth that they might be saved. And as you get older and older, and I'm not speaking about anybody in particular, but as you do, and you realize we're getting closer and closer to the end of time, you know that eternal life is not an option.
Better not be.
No, if we're gonna, you know, if many are called, and only a few are chosen. I really want to be one of the chosen. And I was telling somebody just recently, I said, you know, it doesn't matter how many good things somebody says about you or what they think about you. It's what God thinks. That's what matters. Do I love him? You know, he says I'm supposed to. And I wanna be found in that place.
Yeah, I like it.
That's an old man talking, but I tell you what, I've done a lot of thinking, especially in the last few months.
I'm kind of an old man too, not quite as old as you, but I'm old. I was thinking back when I was a young man, younger in this church. There was, back when the Holmeses were here, they had foster kids here. And there was one kid they had, Hank. I don't know if you remember Hank. You know. I did not like Hank. He just didn't have a personality that I took to. You I didn't like it. I didn't like the kid, you know? I just didn't like him. And I don't think other people liked him much either. Just, you know. Well, anyway, he was, I think it was his last Sunday with the Holmeses. He was going to do some other placement or whatever. And there was a prophecy that went out. It was pretty obviously for Hank. You know, you could tell. Anyway, in the prophecy, and I thought about it last Sunday when Barb was bringing what she was bringing. The Lord was begging him. And it was like the Lord was getting down on the Lord's knees in front of Hank, begging him to, for his love, you know, continuing on. And it was like the Lord was surrendering his dignity there with that Hank. Lousy kid that was, you know, people didn't like, you know, obnoxious kid. And he was obnoxious. But just the same, the Lord was pleading with him for a continuing relationship, continuing love, you know. And the Lord said, you know, it's not going to work out there in the world for you. It's just not going to work. You're going to try. It's not going to work, you know. What you need is me begging him. I don't know what became of Hank. What I do remember was that the kid had a real cocky way about him during, after the prophecy went out. Lousy kid. He was all kind of cocky because he had this prophecy, you know. Anyway, for all I know, that prophecy was for me because it sure shone some light on the way that God loves. Mm-hmm. You know, it just shone that, yeah, you can be a real unpleasant kid, have personality characteristics that other people don't take to, but still, it is very, very important to God to have that you have a relationship with him, you know? Not because your personality is one that, you know, is successful, whatever, but you're his child, whatever it was. It just, it really opened my eyes to what God's love is all about back at that time. I don't know if you remember that, Keith or Herb or.
Yeah. No, I don't remember the prophecy.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Bible says, the well people don't need a physician. The sick are the ones. The ones that are unloved are the ones that need love.
Yeah.
And God sees that.
On that scripture in 2 Thessalonians, one of the things that really got a hold of me is the fact that it doesn't matter what we believe. But here it says, that if they did not have a love for the truth, and a love for the truth is a lot different than a love for the doctrine of this church. You know, what is truth? That's what Pilate wanted to know. What is the truth? And that's kind of where I have been in that frame of mind for, you know, a lot of different times. But the thing is, truth is what God calls truth. And we have come to the one day a revelation of that is that truth is what God meant by what he said. And we better love that. Whatever he meant is what we better love it.
Yes.
I'm just going to read Peter 3. I'm not going to read this part before for at this time, but it's something that I think you might address later. But finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Mm-hmm. And we're Jill's at. Yeah.
In connection with the prophecy that Barb gave, you know, we're in a time in our country where there's a lot of hatred. A lot of hatred.
Yep.
Just a lot of hatred. And it has to grieve God's heart. I am thinking that the only solution is a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. The kind of move that emptied out all the taverns in Wales, you know, back over 100 years ago. People just didn't go to the taverns anymore. It was a big change. They like to go to the taverns, I guess. But we need that. Oh my, we need that love in this country. You know, we're in terrible fix. So let me just quick pray right now, that there would be a loving flow of the Holy Spirit throughout the country, and that hatred, all the mistrust, and all the hatred, all the stuff that, all the making enemies of whoever's, you know, on the other side politically, that stuff would just wash away. Lord, by your Spirit, cause that hatred, cause all that tribalism, whatever, you know, hate, mistrust, and think they're terrible. Oh, Lord, by your Spirit, just wash that feature away, Lord. Oh, and move by your Spirit. Oh, that our eyes would be on you, on your goodness, your truth as revealed by your word, your light, oh Lord, your goodness. Cause that to be what happens in this country by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Do that good work. Oh, do that good work. Good work. Amen.
Love you all.